If you're over 25 years old, you likely have some recollection of September 11, 2001. If you're an adult or were an adult at that time, you likely remember where you were when you heard the news about the terrorist attacks. Also, you may likely remember the name Todd Beamer. Todd was one of the passengers on United Flight 93 that took off Tuesday morning from Newark, New Jersey, the intended destination being San Francisco, California, but it crash landed in a field in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. United Flight 93 was one of the planes hijacked by Al-Qaeda terrorists that day. Todd Beamer was on that flight, United 93. Todd and his wife, Lisa, were both graduates of the prestigious Christian University Wheaton College and had become parents of two young boys, David 3 and Andrew 1, and Lisa was currently pregnant at the time. Todd and Lisa just spent a romantic getaway in Italy and had gotten back on Monday, September the 10th. They went and picked up their boys, spent some time with them, but Todd, being a busy executive, had to fly out the next morning for a meeting in San Francisco. The flight took off, and about 90 minutes into the flight, the terrorists made themselves known. And they informed the 37 passengers and 7 crew members of what was about to take place. They took control of the cockpit, the cabin, and turned the aircraft headed south. Todd snuck away and got in the back, and he picked up a GTE airphone. He was able to make contact with a GTE supervisor on the ground. Todd told this GTE operator what was happening in his airplane as it was being taken over by these terrorists. The GTE operator supervisor then informed Todd what had already occurred at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. So upon hearing this news, Todd understood the connection. He realized then that these hijackers were likely intent on crashing this jet, this Boeing 747, into some crowded building of prominence in the D.C. area. Todd then told the GTE rep that he was going to do whatever he could to disrupt the terrorist plans, and he was going to get others to help. But before hanging up, Todd asked the operator to report their entire conversation to his wife, Lisa, and then he asked the operator to recite the Lord's Prayer with him. Todd then finished the prayer by saying, "Now God help me. Please, Jesus, help me." Not long after that phone call ended, Flight 93 nosedived, heading for a rural field about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. The plane disintegrated upon impact. It created a crater more than 40 feet deep. Today, a national memorial to United Flight 93 sits at that very spot. When the conversation between Todd and the GTE operator became public, Todd became a national hero. He was a committed Christian, a devoted family man, a Sunday school teacher at his church, But now he was a national hero. And the reason was because of his spirit of sacrifice. His selfless disregard for his own life in order to save the lives of others. You know, this spirit of sacrifice is admired by all people. God has just put something within us that is highly valued among all people. This spirit of selflessness, this spirit of sacrifice, it is the antithesis of selfishness. But folks, I'll tell you, if we think that this is important to the world, we need to know that it is revered by the Word of God. The spirit of sacrifice is key to our spiritual lives. I hope that you've been keeping up with us on our live feed and where we are with regard to the series. I'm preaching a series, Essential Spirituality. And what I've noted in studying is one essential element. If you and I are to take the hand of Jesus and we are to follow him, if we are to live a strong Christian life and a bold Christian presence, if we are to ever be able to make a difference, we have to employ this spirit of sacrifice. Think about it for a second. My definition of the spirit of sacrifice is this. It is the position before God that invites, excites, and ignites the Holy Spirit of God. The spirit of sacrifice is our posture before God. The posture before God that excites, invites, and ignites the Holy Spirit of God within you. But in order for us to be able to employ the spirit of sacrifice into our lives, we have to know how to do it. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, because in this passage, we have literally an example of sacrificial living. We have a model of how to employ this spirit of sacrifice in our lives that will open the Holy Spirit of God to work in me and through me. Philippians 2, follow with me in verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then verses 5 through 11, he gives us the example of Jesus. And what we will find in this example are keys in how we can craft the spirit of sacrifice in our own lives, where we can open ourselves, position ourselves in a way that will be blessed by God. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, in following this description of the life of Jesus, we note that the theme running through this wonderful passage is the theme of sacrifice. What we will see is that there are two things that we have to do. The first one is actually three things that we'll look at next week. But the first thing that is absolutely necessary, the first thing that has to be in place in our lives in order to turn that switch, in order to open that valve, in order to invite, excite, and ignite the Holy Spirit of God in you, the key is sacrifice. And to employ sacrifice in your life, it takes, number one, absolute surrender before God. Look in verses 6 and 7 again. Speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Again, we have to position ourselves first and foremost. It won't work. Any other self-help method, at best, you will have temporary results. The key to changing your life starts here, with absolute surrender before God. And there are two things we have to do to meet this criteria. The first is the renouncing of self. Now, there's not a person here who likes that. Okay, I don't like that. I don't like having to stand against my internal desires. None of us do. We're all selfish at the core. But a spirit of sacrifice learns to take that spirit of self, the flesh, selfishness, and renounce it. Jesus, though being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That word of no reputation is literally translated, he emptied himself. Now, theologians have debated forever about just what Jesus emptied himself of. And so I'll let them debate all of that. But the one thing that is most certain in this passage is that Jesus turned away. He emptied himself of everything that would keep him from accomplishing his Father's will. And it starts with a decision to deny and sacrifice self. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, he gave. The spirit of sacrifice is woven into the message of the gospel. through the lens of the spirit of sacrifice, the cross makes sense. In the world's eyes, it is a ridiculous menagerie of folklore. But to us, the cross finally makes sense because we understand the love of God. And inherent, woven into the heart of the love of God, is the spirit of sacrifice. We have to put selfishness on the altar of God and allow Him then to fill us, which is the second point. Not only must we renounce ourselves, but we then must abandon ourselves unto God. You see, it's not enough just to say, keep saying no, no, no. You've got to be able to say yes, yes, yes. But it's who you say no to and who you say yes to. No to self, no to selfishness, yes to sacrifice, yes to grace, yes to abandoning myself before God. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite writers. Says, to deny oneself does not mean you deny things. To take up your cross does not mean you will have all of these problems. Instead, to take up the cross means to identify with Christ in His rejection, shame, and suffering and death. It means dying to self-will, dying to self-trust. Because the Bible consistently teaches that our self-will is corrupt. It is fallen. It is broken. This is where most all of our battles are going to be lost or won. In this trench of a sacrifice. In this trench of choosing to renounce, deny the self of flesh, and to abandon oneself unto God. That is absolute surrender. To abandon oneself. Dr. Jamie Ayton is a Christian psychologist and researcher. He calls an abandonment to God spiritual surrender. In his testimony, he's 35 years old, married with children, but diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And in his testimony, he writes these words. He said, I vividly remember taking the trash to the curb one winter morning. I was praying and kept praying that God would heal me. The freezing air felt like tiny razor blades cutting across my hands and feet because of the nerve sensitivity caused by the chemotherapy. I kept praying as I walked back inside my home, but I was wondering if God had even heard my prayers for healing. All of a sudden, he said, I dropped to my knees and I prayed the most challenging prayer of my life. Instead of continuing to pray for God's healing, I asked that God would take care of my wife and children if I didn't make it. He said, that's the hardest prayer I've ever had to pray. For the first time in my life, I truly experienced spiritual surrender. True spiritual surrender is far from passive. It's a willful act of obedience. So many of us get stuck in our Christian lives. It happens to me, and it happens to you. We get stuck and high-centered. Because we know little about the spirit of sacrifice at that time. I'm telling you, this is key. Employing the spirit of sacrifice takes absolute surrender. And some of you have said, I've done that time and time again. I have surrendered myself to God and nothing changes. And now I'll surrender myself to God and nothing changes. Well, try it this way. Surrender yourself to God intentionally. Renounce self-will and self-trust. Intentionally turn away from selfishness, and you will turn into sacrifice. Renouncing yourself and then abandoning to God. I know that you feel, you as in all of us, at times feel disappointed by God. And we let that human mind evaluating divine mind, we let that affect us. And we get down, and when we start swimming in those waters, the enemy we get selfish. And turn away from that offering of sacrifice unto God. And we get on that rat wheel again. So, I say that to tell you this. On your rat wheel of Christian life, if you're stuck, spiritually high-centered, this is exactly what you need to do. Employ the intentional spirit of sacrifice. Well, you will turn away from self, abandon to God. Will you do that? Some of you really need to do that today. This has been something I have recently done in my own life. It's something that I have to do again and again and again, because the spirit of sacrifice is key in our Christian life. Let's stand. How are we going to do the invitation? Have we even talked about that? I don't think we talked about the invitation, did we, John? Well, let's stand together. I want to ask you, if you have in your heart a need to pray or be prayed for, we don't want to miss that. If you have in your heart a need to respond to God in a way that is personal and very real, don't leave here without talking to me or somebody on our staff or church leadership. Don't let it happen. As John sings and our praise team plays, just bow your head. And again, should you need prayer or any type of counseling, just come and make me aware, and we will take care of that, okay? John, you take it.